I didn't quite have it on yet, honey. You want to say it again? I guess not. Hi, Jackie. Jim and Kathy. Hi, Andy and Dale. We talked last week that while there are people that are going out of their way to mess with you just because it makes them feel good or it's one way they get joy, most of the time when people get on our nerves, it's not because they're setting out to do it. It's because there's a misunderstanding. There's a different perspective. And as followers of Christ, we should be careful how we respond in these situations. And I was quick to say that I am sometimes sharp in my responses. Praise God. Look at that nod from the back row. So, yesterday morning, I was stopping at the mobile station to get something to drink, and out in Swanton. And so we got two lanes of traffic and a turn lane and gas stations on opposite sides of the road, both of which trying to dump people out in the midst of traffic. Me trying to turn in. My wife over there on her phone. So the vehicle pulls out from the left side out of the one gas station where I'm going in. And it's a big vehicle. And I know he's got traffic blocked. I can get in behind him. She looks up from her phone, doesn't see the vehicle pulling out, sees the car coming that's going to stop because he's not going to hit that big Suburban, and freaks out. And let's just say I did not respond with all of the love and grace and mercy that I should have. Okay? Because I've got all this stuff done. So I hear the scream. That tells me I missed something. So I have no clue what I missed. So y'all pray for your pastor because he's still learning to be a gracious and loving person. So that was what we talked about last week. This week I want to talk about an obstacle or a milepost. You know what the difference between an obstacle and a milepost in your way is? Any ideas? How you look at it. We see something coming up. We see a situation. Is it an obstacle or is it a praise God you brought me past that? Is it a barrier to go in walking and doing the things God has called us to do? Or is it something we can give praise to God for that He has shown Himself faithful? Genesis 37, beginning with verse 18. Now they saw him afar off, him being Joseph, by the way, even before he came near them, and they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come therefore and let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams." You remember, Joseph's brothers are jealous of him because God gave him dreams. And in the one dream, Joseph's star, each of them were a star. So he was a star, and there were 11 stars around him and the sun and moon, and everything bowed to him. And in another dream, he was a sheaf of wheat, and everyone else was a sheaf of wheat, and all the other sheaves of wheat bowed to him. And he didn't quite have enough maturity to keep his mouth shut, so he's sharing these things. "Hey, guess what? Guess what I saw?" So they were a little jealous of him. Throw in the fact that he's daddy's favorite, got the coat of many colors, and they're like, "Let's see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard it and delivered him out of his hands and says, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands, which and bring him back to their father." So here we have this young man who partly because of his immaturity, partly because of family dynamics, partly because of God's blessing upon him, had people jealous that were wanting to kill him. And the people were people of his own family. He had obstacles in his path, would you say? Mm-hmm. In the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the problem, how bad does the family have to be that your brothers want to kill you? Yet, we all go through times where there's difficulty in our life. Most of us have gone through times where people are trying to get the better of us. Prayerfully, not to the point where they're wanting to kill us, but they have their own agenda, they have their own plans and purposes, and sometimes we get in other people's way. Happens to me, I get in other people's way. But how does he react? And we'll get to that in a little bit. But he's got somebody that's got turmoil in his life. His brothers grab him, rough him up a little bit, and toss him in the pit. They stripped him of his coat of many colors. They stripped him of his garments. They throw him in the pit. They were going to just kill him, but the older brother says, nah, let's not do that. Let's just put him in the pit. The older brother had his own issues with the family. You go back and read the story, you'll find out why that is. But had his own problems, had his own issues. Then going on down to Genesis, same chapter, down to verse 26. Says, so Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. What? There's no benefit if we kill him. If we kill him, we just got to hide his body. But if we can turn a profit on this guy, and then justifies it, says, let not our hand be upon him. Oh no, it wasn't me. It was the Ishmaelites that got him. Okay? He is our brother and our flesh, and his brothers listened. Then the Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. You know the story of Joseph in Egypt. He was 17 years old as a young man when he went in there. He spent all that time down in Egypt, all that time in the prison. First at Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife kind of cast an eye on him. And when he said no, we find out that there's hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Then he left his coat. He tried to molest me. He tried to rape me. And see, when I screamed, he went to run away, but he left his coat. And he goes into jail. And he goes into the jail in the prison. And as a prisoner in jail, he is faithful and trustworthy to the point where he is put over other prisoners. It doesn't sound like he's turning this obstacle, or he's letting this stay as an obstacle. It sounds like he is being faithful in his walk. He is being faithful to God. He is doing what he knows to be right, even in the middle of a bad situation, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. You know the story of the baker and the cupbearer, those two members of Pharaoh's house that were in the prison and had the dreams. And Joseph interpreted the dreams for him. And at Pharaoh's birthday, those two were brought out. And the cupbearer was restored to his place just as Joseph had interpreted the dream. And the baker was beheaded just as Joseph had interpreted his dream. And the scripture says, but the cupbearer forgot about Joseph. And he got to spend another several years in jail. Joseph went through a long time in prison in Egypt. He went through some difficult times with his brothers roughing him up, throwing him in the pit, talking about killing him, deciding to sell him and turn a profit rather than killing him. send him off into slavery. And through all of it, Joseph maintained his integrity. Through all of it, Joseph decided to do what he knew to be right. Scripture says he was honorable. Scripture says the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Even in the midst of the turmoil, even in the midst of the prison, the Spirit of the Lord was with him. In fact, when Pharaoh brought him out, he says, there is no one, or when Pharaoh made him the ruler over Egypt, or second in command, basically, over Egypt, he said, there is no one else around in whom is the Spirit of the Holy God. Because Joseph maintained himself that way. Even in the midst of the difficult times, in the midst of the prison, in the midst of the family turmoil that ends him in a pit and sold into slavery, in the midst of the false accusations from Potiphar's wife, in the midst of everything that had gone on, in the midst of being forgotten, he continued to walk. He continued to do the things that he knew to be right. And it showed in his life, and it showed to, and it was evident to even to Pharaoh as he shared what the dreams meant and how to deal with the dreams. Joseph recognized that no matter what comes up, it can either be a barrier to our walk or just something to get past and keep going, a milepost, something we've already encountered. Each and every one of us, we have this. Prayerfully, we don't have it to the extreme that Joseph went through. I'm not a huge fan of being sold into slavery or thrown into a prison and forgotten, okay? But we all have things come up in our lives that how we deal with them shows what God is doing in us. Do we see the things that come up as an obstacle, or do we see the things that come up as just something that God is at work through and God is using in our lives? Peter said, King James, consider it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to test you, as though some strange thing happened. Knowing that these same events occur in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, everybody goes through things. Everybody goes through good things. Everybody goes through difficult things. The fact that we have difficult things happen in our lives is not a reflection of our level of spirituality. It's not an expression of God's favor or disfavor. It is a simple fact that everybody goes through things. What shows what God is doing in our lives is how we respond when things come up. How do we react when dealing with difficult people? We've been talking about that a lot. Some of us still need a lot of prayer. But we need an understanding of the fact that we are called to be representatives of Christ to the world around us. We are called to be trophies of God's grace to the generation that we are sent to. If we didn't need God's grace, how could he show us up as a trophy? But God wants to change each and every one of us. The things that happen in our life, do we treat them as an obstacle or do we treat them as a milepost? Do we treat them as a barrier? I can't do this. Or do we recognize that God is with us and God is at work in us, and God has already promised that he's going to cause all things to work together for good to them who love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Do we grab hold of that? I need to. I try to. And I do in many cases, but I don't do it all the time. But when a situation comes up, do we recognize that this is an example of something that God can use to work in us to make us more like Jesus? Genesis 50, beginning with verse 15, says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus shall you say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of your servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face and said, "Behold, we are your servants." And Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and for your little ones." And he comforted them and he spoke kindly to them. They had roughed him up. They had beat him up. They had stripped him of his clothes. They had put him in a pit. They had sold him into slavery. He was down as a slave in Egypt. As a slave in Egypt, he was falsely accused by his master's wife. He was thrown into prison. In prison, as he maintained his integrity, as he tried to do the things that he knew to be right, he interpreted dreams for two members of Pharaoh's court and was forgotten again. And he went through all of that. And after his father died, his brothers were in a panic that he was going to punish them for what they had done. He says, "You might have intended it for evil, but God intended it for good." Do we have that attitude when we look at our circumstances? When people get in our face? When people try to trick us? When people try to do things that would... When they falsely accuse us, the different things that happen in life? Do we have the attitude that it really doesn't matter how that person intended it? God's going to bring good through it. And we can lay down any offense. We can lay down any desire for retribution or revenge, because that's up to God to take care of. Our job is to show the love and grace and mercy of God in every situation. But if we see it as an obstacle, we can't do that. We have to look at our circumstances as milestones. In Mark 11, starting with verse 22, Jesus has just cursed the fig tree, and the disciples see it the next day, and they're marveling. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespass. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespass." Has anybody ever had anyone do something horrific to them? And has anyone had to deal with the anger of that? And has anyone ever had the Lord just all of a sudden put this scripture in the Bible because it was hidden, and all of a sudden it's like a spotlight hit it? If you do not forgive them, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Quite a few years ago now, God illuminated this scripture in my life. I won't go into the details, but there was a horrific situation. And I came across that scripture and I said, "Okay, Lord, I will to be obedient to your word. I will to forgive. Lord, help work it in my heart." And it took a while. Anytime the situation would come up, anytime the memory would come up, and I would find myself, the anger just boiling up, I would say, "Lord, I will to forgive, work it in my heart." And cried out to the Lord on a regular basis. And then all of a sudden one day, I couldn't tell you how long it took, I just know it took a while. All of a sudden one day, the person's name came up, and it didn't affect me. I'm like, praise God. I hadn't seen this person for many years. I was in a situation where I was traveling. I had been visiting some people and stopped and spent one night at a temporary residence of some other family members. And the one night I was at a house that they were only in for 1 month, that night the phone rang. And it was this person trying to find out how to get a hold of me. It did not happen until I had forgiven in my heart. It did not happen. I hadn't seen her in years. It did not happen until I'd come face to face with this scripture. It didn't happen while it was still an obstacle. It didn't happen until the obstacle became a milestone. Laid it down of what God had done. That God is the one who works healing. That God is the one who works forgiveness in our hearts. We can ask, Lord, I want to. Your word commands me to. I will to be obedient. I need to lay this down. Father, help me. Work it in my heart. And until that happened, I could not find this person. Once it happened, out of the blue, when I wasn't expecting it, God made the connection. Because there's no, it's either that or you believe in cosmic coincidences. You know, I'm in a house one night that the people are only in for 1 month. And the one time I'm there is the time the phone rings. My wife had watched all of this, had seen me crying out to the Lord, asking God to work it in my heart. And she had some other horrific events in her life. And because she had seen God's faithfulness in my life and God working the forgiveness in my life, she opened her heart to God's forgiveness in her life for another horrific thing. It doesn't happen while it's an obstacle. While we see our circumstances as obstacles, while we see our circumstances as barriers, we have the wrong attitude and we're not open to letting God do the healing. But when we recognize that the God who loves us and has us engraved in the palm of His hands and inhabits the praises of His people and sent Jesus to reconcile us to Himself and give us the spirit of adoption that wants the relationship with us, loves us so much, sees the end from the beginning, isn't surprised by anything, if He allows these things in our life, good, bad, or indifferent, horrific, whatever they happen to be, God is still at work in us and in these circumstances. And when we recognize that God doesn't waste anything, including our tears, He doesn't waste anything, including our pain, He doesn't waste anything, including the time it seems to us like is wasted, it is not wasted because God is at work even through it. Are the events in our lives obstacles or are they milestones? Are they barriers to hold us back from the things of God or are they things God is using to touch our hearts and to draw us by His Spirit to make us more like Jesus? Luke 23, beginning with verse 33. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified Him. And the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided His garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He is the Christ, the chosen of God. Jesus said, forgive them. And they still continue to mock Him. See, the work God is doing in our hearts may not be evident in the lives of others while God is doing it in us. That's not the important part. The important part is to trust that God is at work and knows what He's doing. Even in the turmoil, even in the difficulties, even in the hard times. Jesus had already said, we read it back in Mark. If you do not forgive others, God will not forgive you. Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Stephen, when he was stoned, says, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Don't blame them. They're ignorant. They don't know any better. Lord, have mercy on them. That is a heart that sees the difficulties as mileposts. Things God has brought us through. Final passage, 2 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 7. Paul says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do we have an attitude that says, no matter what comes along, it's God who's guiding me through it. And if God gets glory through my difficulty, and praise God, I'm excited for it. Many years ago, Pastor Howard was Howard Parrish was the pastor here, and there was this one Sunday morning. Now, back at the time, it was a much larger congregation, so we came over at 8 o'clock for choir practice, followed by Sunday school, followed by morning worship. And it was a little after noon when we got out of here. Now, when we got here, there was no snow. When we left, there was 18 inches of snow. And Route 2 had not been plowed, heading home. And we left and we're going, and I was right in front of Pastor Howard and his wife Joan. And I got up here just before the boat launch, a little bit before the boat launch. And a vehicle was coming the other way, so I eased over just a little bit so that we could pass. And tires got caught in the soft snow and pulled us right down into the ditch. My loving bride looks up at me from the low side and says, you never pull over in snow. You can come to a stop, but make them go around you. Okay, honey, I'll keep that in mind. Pastor Howard gave him and Joan gave Debbie a ride home and gave me a ride up to another brother's house, where I called the tow truck and was waiting. And it was hours before the tow truck got there because there were people off all over the place. He called the state police. They said, if nobody's hurt, we don't care. We have other things to worry about. So the tow truck gets there a few hours later, picks me up, and is coming down to get me and says, is that your car? I'm like, no, that's not my car. Get a little closer and find out that someone else had gone off the road in the exact same spot and totaled my car in the ditch. Right in front of my car was where a pipe had come out. And if my car had not been there for their vehicle to land on, they would have flipped upside down because of the way they were coming and been in 4 foot of water. And I said, when people asked me about it, I mean, my car was totaled. People asked me about it. I said, if God wanted to use my car to save somebody's life, I'm okay with that. I'm not saying that to boast on myself. I'm saying that that's the attitude we each and every one of us need. It doesn't matter what goes on in our lives. We are bought with a price. We are engraved in the hands of God. God is at work in us. He has shown himself faithful in so many different ways in our lives. You can look back over at the mileposts of what God has already done in our lives, and we can see the sovereign hand of an almighty God doing wondrous things. And if we recognize that the events coming up in our lives are mileposts of God's grace and mileposts of God's mercy, we recognize that God is using everything to change us to be more like Jesus. He's using everything to show His grace and love and mercy in our lives, and He's using it to touch the hearts and lives of others. But if the difficulties, if the hard times come up in our lives, if all we see them as is obstacles, then we get in the way of what God is trying to do in other people's lives. That's not a place I want to be. I should not be alive, but God had a plan. Many of you should not be alive, but God had a plan. Because of that, can we trust that God knows what's going on? And if something comes into our life, recognize that it is a milepost. It is something that God is doing. It is part of the journey that He has me on. And I don't know what He's going to do in this circumstance. I don't know how He's going to bring good out of this. But I know that the sovereign hand of an almighty God can touch and change and work in people's lives no matter what the circumstances are. And I am eager to be a servant of God. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I just want to be where God is. I just want to be involved in what God is doing. Because the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory that is set before us. Praise God. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Father, for the call to examine the way we look at things. And to recognize, Lord, that it doesn't matter what happens. Whatever comes up in our life, You are still God over all. You still love us. And You have still shown Yourself faithful in our lives. And even through the difficult times, through the hardships, and through the things that before we saw as obstacles and barriers. Father, that You have shown Your grace and Your love and Your mercy. Lord, we're not yet to the point of Paul of rejoicing in our tribulations, rejoicing in our infirmities, rejoicing in our hardships. But Lord, help us to have that heart that says, Lord, whatever You want to do with me, whatever You want to do through me, and whatever You want to do in me is perfectly fine with me because I love You and I trust You. And Father, we give You all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.